Today I've got Akhil from our mortgage broker. So thanks for joining me today, Akhil.
You're welcome, and thanks for having me, Marcus.
No problem at all. So let's just kick off with, talk to me about your financial services journey and how you've come to our mortgage broker.
Sure. So if we rewind the clock to 2002, I started my humble beginnings as a cashier at Halifax Bank. So I started from the early days in 2002, started as a rookie, as cashiering, made my way through the retail arm of the business, from business banking to branch manager, then moved into private banking space at Bank of Scotland, looking after affluent and high net worth individuals in London centric space. And then 2009 happened. We all know what happened then. Lloyds took over HBOS. And then I merged in a role with Lloyds Bank as a credit analyst in Southern European banks. So a decade or so was with Lloyds Banking Group. So retail banking and finance is my background. Small stints with RBS and Metro Bank as well. And then along that journey, I've always invested in property. So I'm a landlord by heart. I love money. I love banking. I love finance. So 2015 came, I married it all together. And I started my own. Got qualified first and foremost with the CMAP industry qualification. And then we started my business as a one-man band back in 2018 officially, but prior to that from 2015.
Good stuff. Do you think that's it's an interesting grounding? Because a lot of guys I speak to, a lot of successful people have come from that kind of banking background and understanding. Mm-hmm. And actually, quite a few have come from that developer or landlord type background. Do you think that's been advantageous when you're talking to clients and that kind of thing? Do you think both of those fit?
Yeah, I think having that banking and corporate lifestyle experience is key, I think, fundamental, because we're focused on processes, guidelines, checklists, and that relationship-driven personality. So I think that's certainly played a huge advantage of how we've grown the business. And where we are now, we're a nine-man business, and most of our guys are all from the banking and finance background. So that's really, really advantageous to us as a business. From the compliance perspective to the relationship, following sales processes and so on and so on, but more importantly, doing the right thing by our clients.
It's interesting, actually, you should say that, because I do think there's been a mindset shift, because when I first started out and it was just purely mortgage broker mm-hmm. owners wouldn't look at people from the banks because they felt like they weren't salespeople, and bankers mm-hmm. didn't really like brokers because they were kind of known as cowboys. And then actually it merged that you took all the cowboys out of most of the cowboys out of the broker industry. And what they did discover is that banking advisors are very process driven. They're very compliant. They can follow a process. And actually, the relationship management stuff is much more important than that old school, kind of second hand car dealer type broker that we try to avoid. So I think the mindset changed in the whole market.
And I agree. And I think you should have that process driven set, that mentality, but with a twist. So what I like to tell my guys first and foremost is, we are salespeople, don't get me wrong, but where we play an advantage is because of our skills, our experience, and our knowledge in that market space of mortgages and property finance. So why our clients come back to us, simply because of our relationship with the clients. You know, numbers financing is quite boring, but it's how we actually get on with our clients, you know, understand more about their families, what they like doing, what they like eating and drinking and everything else in between. So fundamentally, that's how clients keep coming back to us. And that's how our business has grown. And that's what I mean, genuinely. Our business has grown simply on word of mouth and on delivering on what our clients want.
So let's talk about that. Let's talk about the growth. So obviously 2018, one-man band.
At
what point, because lots of sort of one, two-man bands listen to this, that's quite a point when they're starting out their careers. At what point did you think about starting to scale and growth, et cetera? Was it a figure, or was it a time, or was it just a kind of, was it organic? Talk to me about that.
Yeah, no, that's a good question. So I think first and foremost, it depends where you are in your journey first and foremost, and more importantly, how entrepreneurial you are as an individual. It's in my blood, it's in our family heritage that we are entrepreneurs, we are self-employed business owners. So I think first and foremost, it's in the bloodline. Yeah. Second of all, it's the drive that we've got I've got as a business owner and as a leader. So as much as I'm the leader and the owner of the business, I class myself as the business development manager, because I'm the face, I'm the guy that's, you know, networking around London. Someone's got to do it. And that's what, you know, that's my forte. I'm the sales guru. I'm the engine. I'm the motor. And I keep the wheels in motion, where my team behind me, and we've grown that during the last 5 years or so, they're really good at what they do in terms of finding solutions, looking at lending criteria, doing the affordability assessments and so on. So We all play to our strengths. Every advisor within the business has got their strengths in certain arenas of property finance and mortgages. And then I'll match make our clients with the right advisor. So the beauty about our business, we are 5 years old. We're a team of 9 qualified advisors. We are predominantly based in London. We have an office in Mayfair, London, as well as in Bracknell, in Berkshire. So we have 2 offices, if you like. Our advisors are predominantly based in London and the home counties. But that's not to say that we don't help clients in Scotland or Wales or Ireland or northwest of England. So the good thing is we're directly authorized, independent brokerage, genuinely have access to every single lender in the market. But going back to the entrepreneurial spirit, to be honest with you, I set out with a plan, but I didn't have a plan as well, because there's only so much that you can plan for.
Yeah.
You know, where we are now, you know, we've had a, 500x interest rate gain over the last 12 months or so. You know, there's only so much you can plan for. But what we try to do as business owners is work first and foremost with our colleagues, make sure that they're part of our business. As much as I'm the leader, I'm the owner, you know, I'm the guy that writes the checks. But I like to think, I like to encourage and motivate my team to be, you know, this is as much as my business, your business as well, because, you know, we are where we are because of us all.
I think that's really important as well, actually, just in regards to having a team that are kind of commercially aware. I think it's important as much as you're the driver with it, because it's the same in our business and very similar. You can be the driver and that's fantastic. But at the same time, everyone has to run their kind of business within a business, don't they? I think that's when you see the success, is that everyone takes their part of the business seriously. How have you adopted that as well? They come from banking, so you're always not selling them the corporate dream. How have you kind of built that team from with that experience?
I think the way I've done it and the reason why I've been so successful in doing so is just being open and transparent with the team. And telling them along the journey that this is my plan. Now, don't get me wrong, we have a plan. I always work 24 months in advance.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the team are certainly part of my business plan. And I encourage, you know, feedback, things that we can improve, because there's always ways that we can improve stuff to make more of a streamlined process. So, you know, encouraging the team to be part of any decisions that we make, get feedback from them, understanding the pitfalls in the journey and what they're enjoying doing, what they're not so much enjoying doing. Because what I want to do is, I want them to be motivated. You know, the business of mortgages is quite laborious at times. There's a lot of to-ing and throwing with lawyers, banks, conveyances, and all that sort of stuff. So there's lots of to-ing and throwing. But it's first and foremost, you've got to enjoy what you do, right? You know, if you're not enjoying what you're doing, you're not going to wake up feeling motivated. So my job, as well as their job, is to feel motivated, you know, have an agenda set out for the day and week ahead. That's very important. And, you know, we have our weekly meetings on a Monday at 9:30. Understanding the pitfalls, good and bad and ugly, what happened last week, and then what we're doing as individuals and teams going forward in the week ahead. So it's, you know, it's that two-way conversation, keeping the communication lines open and talking to one another, you know, hourly, daily, weekly, and so on and so on. Because, you know, if we don't converse, we'll never know, you know, how we can, you know, streamline our process and make things happen.
And I think that then being involved in that as well. So do you think, I'm kind of put words into your mouth, but everyone kind of buying into the vision that you've set out, I think that's kind of predominantly potentially the most important thing, I think, if you're trying to scale a business.
I agree. And I think it's so, so important that everyone, as you rightly said, you know, buys into my vision. As much as it's my vision, my company is called Our Mortgage Broker. So it's our company, our business, our model. So, you know, I thought long and hard about how we can construct this business as a family business. Yeah. And that's what I'm trying to do. So, you know, we're growing now. We've now moved into Mayfair, London. A lot of our clients are London based. So what we wanted to do is, you know, be in the London Mayfair space so we can adapt and be close to our clients.
Has that made a difference? I have interest having that Mayfair address, because you've had that high net worth client base anyway. I speak to guys in Glasgow still have a lot of London clients. Do you know what I mean? I speak to guys in the Southwest, but there is something to be said for boots on the ground in the vicinity of where the money is moving.
Yeah. And I think if you can be very close to any capital of any country, you know, it'll play an advantage to you. I think it's, you know, it's nice to have a London-based address on your business card, but it's not the be end and end all. What I would say there is, but it does open up various doors. If I invite you to 2 offices, would you like to come to Bracknell, which is, you might not know where that is, but it's 15 minutes from Windsor Castle, or would you like to come to our Mayfair office in London? Mayfair, right? Because then you can go out for lunch or dinner after. Not to say there's no restaurants in Bracknell, there is, but it's location, you know, it's accessible. You can get from the Midlands to London in an hour or so. It's very accessible, London, from that perspective.
Yeah.
It's a nice, it's glamorous and all that sort of stuff. But we don't want to just have an office in London just for the glamour aspect. We want to be there because we're good at what we do. We've got the knowledge. We've got the reach. We've got lenders that we work with that can then support those clients, you know, in high value transactions, whether they're fund managers, CEOs and the alike.
Yeah.
So we want to be closer to them. So we, as you said, if you've got boots on the ground, that just helps get closer to those clients. So it's an easier door open.
Got you. So in your business at the moment, I know you said you class yourself as a business development manager, like me, I'm the same, business owner, business development manager. However, I also appreciate that I'm potentially the future bottleneck for the business. I mean, do you look at that when you're growing it as to how you kind of scale you out, or is that not even, is not on your radar yet? Or how do you, are your guys hunting as well?
What do you mean hunting? Sorry.
Sorry, are they going out and picking up business and doing their networking and that sort of business? So they're not just relying on you. Is it a scalable model where it can work without you eventually?
So it's a good question, actually. So the model is, it's two ways. So I encourage our guys to go out and network first and foremost. So one of the targets from the advisors is go to 4 networking events each and every month. One very close to home, one in your home county, one close to the Bracknell office, and then one in central London. That way you're going to 4 networking events just simply to educate yourself first and foremost, because you've got guest speakers giving information and knowledge out there. Two, and then the other thing is you're then meeting other demographics in different parts of the country or counties.
And they're actually targeted on that. They're targeted in there. That's just something you expect out of everyone to go. That's a good shout.
Yeah, and I recommend it. And so I encourage our guys to go out to 4 networking events each and every month. It's only one per week, so it's not very onerous. So I think that's a really, really good thing to do. And, your network is your net worth and all that sort of stuff people talk about. But it's very, very important. The other thing I encourage them to do is social media posting. So we post every day on our socials. I think that's where we met on LinkedIn.
That's the reason I personally saw your business through your social media presence. And obviously, if I'm seeing it, your clients are seeing it. It's important.
I think it's fundamental that if you're not on socials and you're not around and about networking events, you're easily forgotten, because I don't know what the stat is, but I think there's about 20 or 30,000 mortgage brokers in the country. That's a lot of mortgage brokers, but there's a lot of business to go around as well. So, it's who you can like, know and trust. Mm-hmm. And how often are you seeing that person, he or she, at networking events? Or how often am I seeing that person's name flash up on socials or flash up in a conversation? And that's what we encourage as business owners is, you want to be talked about in a positive way, and you want to be seen in the right places, because, no offense, if you want to do £1 million mortgage, it's unlikely to get it in a McDonald's. Even though I love a cheeseburger, don't get me wrong. You're probably going to find it more so in a steakhouse, in Mayfield.
Yeah. I mean, we call it the omnipresence. You don't meet people's faces all the time. You want to be a touch point. You've got to have touch points. I think I looked at a stat the other day, and people don't even recognize you until 7 touch points, let alone trust you to sell to you. I think that's 15 to 30. It's a huge amount that goes in. So online and offline, obviously super important. If you had to pick one, what would it be? If your guys could only ever offline network, online, social media, what would be your route?
Oh, no, face-to-face, networking face-to-face, seeing the whites in the eyes. This is great. This remote.
Network. It's a touch point, isn't it?
But I'd rather, it sounds really weird now, but I'd rather hug you and give you a handshake rather than doing this. Let's do it. Come on, there we go.
I'm the same. I'd much rather be out on the, hitting the street. Like you said, these are great. And these are great to have value to. Yeah. I can't go and see 800 brokers, but 800 brokers, this is going out to them in an email. So, there's the benefit. You can add value to a much broader range, but you're right. Actually, the trust and that science comes from going and shaking hands, doesn't it? It's just
and especially the business that we're in as well, Marcus, right? It's so important to have that relationship. Unless you've been recommended and this is the go-to brokerage, that's fine. But if you're going to do business with me the first time, it's very unlikely you're going to go on Facebook or LinkedIn and say, who's the recommended broker, and then do business, because you're sharing your passport, your financial information, and so on. It's very delicate.
Yeah, it's a trust. And also, it's the most important transaction you're in your life. I think people kind of take it for granted that, just a mortgage broker. You're literally the most expensive thing anyone's ever going to buy, and they're trusting you with it. I think maybe it's underappreciated by a lot of people in regards to, you want to get out and see people, you want to get out and shake hands, and people might want to see the white of your eyes, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you've also got the other side of the business where people don't want to, they like they're like on, and they're comfortable. And I think that's a generational thing as well that's happening. But have you noticed that? Noticed any kind of generational trends when it comes to kind of a little bit less of the shaking hands and people want to, you know, send you a mortgage app on a WhatsApp, that kind of thing?
Yeah. We, you know, we get all forms of communication, and we welcome that. You know, some clients want to communicate email, telephone, WhatsApp, social media. Oh, we get all sorts of types of communication, but we welcome that because we want to work with our clients and make it as seamless operation as possible. But the other thing is that we want to encourage clients to come to the real world and understand technology is growing. Lenders are doing their utmost to make things a bit more digitally signed and a bit more remote.
Well, utmost is very, it's a very positive way to look at it.
The good thing is, and the lenders are, you know, the lenders encourage feedback. And, you know, one of the massive things is, you know, ask for less documentation, look up, trying to obtain open banking route, look at digitalizing your face, your, you know, ID and address verification. You know, we need to, as you know, in the UK, I think we're quite backwards from that perspective. We haven't moved with times. COVID was a blessing from this perspective. You know, you can do all this Zooming now. But, you know, we just need to up the ante a bit more around making the property journey a bit more seamless.
Why would you say that is as well? Why are we, but given we're the biggest, you know, financial services kind of institutions in the world, in London, then why are we not up to date with tech like you would be if you were in other industries that are so forward thinking?
I think there hasn't been a big enough voice to make any changes. And unless we, as you know, as brokers, and this goes out to the whole community of us, all in the UK, we need to voice it more and more and encourage good behaviors, adapt more efficient styles of working. And the best way of doing that is looking at how your peers are doing it across the pond in various countries, not just in Europe, but in America as well.
You know, do you think you get heard by the corporates and the like? I had an interesting conversation with someone at one of the larger banks, and she was saying the reason I think we all know what we're talking about when you say their CRM system's awful. She was saying that the reason it never changes is because the person at the top, by the time the change comes in, they're not going to be there. So it's kind of not on my watch. So it's very difficult to get the shift in the corporate world when we're all very SME, move fast, pivot quickly. You know, it's always going to be that butting heads a little bit with the corporates because it, you know, it's trying to turn a ferry in comparison to turning a speedboat. You know, it's just they're tough.
Yeah, it's a shame. Yeah, you know what? I totally agree. You know, I'm ex-banking as well, so I've worked at Halifax and I worked at Bank of Scotland. They're part of the same group, at HBOS, in the early noughties. But we had two different systems. They didn't talk to each other. No one thought about. But what happens is a lot of the corporates will just create a new system and it just becomes another system, you know, in their system.
You know,
and then nobody thinks, oh, how can we amalgamate it? How can we cost save? It's just easy to create a new system. But I think people need to think a bit more long and hard about, you know, how can we amalgamate systems and actually take up new technology. I think, you know, creating systems, apps and softwares should be a lot more easier in today's day and age using AI and all this GBTQIC and all that sort of stuff that's out there. You know, but I'm sure with the techie guys out there, there's easier ways of you know, making good strides, especially in today's day and age.
Yeah.
So if any bank people are out there, you know, again, you know, it's not just the banks, it's conveyancers, it's us as mortgage brokers. We need a bit more togetherness in our transaction.
You know what? Interestingly enough, I spoke to an investor last week at an awards do in Cheshire, and they were just touching on financial services, but they've invested in millions of businesses. They've done extremely well. And their comment is so fragmented. They've never seen such an industry so fragmented across all parts of it, whether that be broking, banking, conveyancing. Like you say, it's such a fragmented industry when actually everyone's working towards the same goal. It seems bizarre that no one's ever gone, let's all do this. This is the system that works. Let's move towards it in that direction. It does seem, from an outside perspective, I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, and I think the problem, I think one of the massive problems is people are frightened of the legalities of the compliance perspective. So, you know, we need one set of compliance that if, for example, the brokerage, which we are FCA authorized, if we can comply and we agree that we've seen Marcus's passport, we've certified his driving license, that should be acceptable for the conveyancer as well as the lender. You know,
it's a trust, isn't it, along the way? If it's good for me, why is it not good for them? But that is just a tick box that no one's ever looked at and gone, that will save a lot of time.
Yeah, and it, you know, I think, you know, the more that we talk about it and encourage it, hopefully in our lifetime it will change, and for the better of good, right? And what we want to do is it helps everyone speed up the property journey, whether you're refinancing or moving home. Nobody likes onerous paperwork. Nobody likes onerous phone calls and meeting and face-to-face and Zooms. We just want to get it done, you know.
Yeah.
Obviously, it has to be compliant, but as long as we all butt heads and work together, I'm sure we can make it happen.
Yeah, and we've got a task for you to do.
2023 task for you.
Yeah, with biometrics and everything at the moment, it seems strange that you need a wet signature on something for something to go through. Do you know, it's just like you're not trusting the tech that is built.
Yes.
Yeah, it does seem bizarre that we haven't kind of adopted it, but nonetheless, you know.
I
speak to brokers every day, so I understand those pain points of the fact that they're building tech and the corporates kind of aren't keeping up. So it is it's a toughie. So let's revert back to the team at the moment. I mean, I think it's quite poignant the way the market's been the last few months. Number one, do you still motivate them exactly the same? And number two, how are you dealing with kind of the rate pulls and the market change and just kind of adopting a new normal at the moment? How are you dealing with that?
Okay, so two really good questions, but two things that one I can control and one I can't control, unfortunately. So from a lender's perspective, we are where we are with the rates. You know, I can't, you know, strong arm Halifax to go back to issuing 1-point rates and 2-point rates, not at 5 rates and 6 rates. So I can't strong arm those guys, and nor can we. You know, the only person that can strong arm them is basically central banks and governments that, you know, hopefully that they can reduce inflation. The Bank of England take a view that we're going to reduce rates from 5% to 1% in 2023. That would be amazing. But that's something that's out of our control, if you like, at the moment. That we can control as business owners, as leaders, as entrepreneurs is our businesses. And this is not just as a brokerage, just as general business owners. You know, it's, you know, first and foremost is keeping, as I said earlier, keeping the communication channels wide open.
Yeah.
And keeping the team motivated. At the moment, you know, we have had a reduction in new inquiries, honestly. We have had a reduction in completions over, what I mean by that is conversions. Completing not sooner,
Pipeline seems to be growing because things are sticking. I mean, it's the same with everyone. Yeah. Anyone says they're completing more than they have done. I just think
Listen, I'm long in the tooth. You know, I'm not going to lie whatsoever. You know, we've had a haircut on a lot of things. Mm-hmm. You know, we expect it. You know, we've had affordability crisis. You know, we've got high interest rates. We've got energy prices going up. We've got chaos around the world. Mm-hmm. But what do we do as individuals? You know, we've got to remain agile. We've got to pivot and we've got to keep motivated. You know, and we have this conversation with our team on a daily basis. First and foremost is first keeping up to date with the market.
Yeah.
Understand where the rates are, what lenders are doing. Number two, what the trends look like. You know, we're, as a business, we're quite buy to let focused. Mm-hmm. That market is actually taking a bit of a hit at the moment with the affordability assessments and predominantly the higher bracket value properties.
Yeah.
But that's not to say that the other parts of the business is not doing as bad as that is. You know, we're, you know, owner-occupied business mortgages, owner-occupied residential mortgages, that's flying at the moment. A lot of clients are coming off remortgaging, remortgage rates, and they're obviously feeling a bit of a pinch.
Some of those aren't there at the moment. I've heard some real shockers from, you know.
It is shocking. It is shocking because everyone's got used to those 1-2% rates for the last 10 years. And, you know, for those guys that have took advantage of that, well done, you know, amazing. And, you know, I'm in that boat as well. But, you know, not every day is a Sunday. You know, you know, good things always come to an end. You know, it always happens. But property, finance, interest rates are a cycle. You know, it will come back around eventually.
Yeah.
We can all say in 12 months, 24, 48 months, but that's out of our hands. But as individuals, as business owners, motivation's key. Keeping in contact with our clients, new, old, prospects, future, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Keeping them updated on where the market is, what we can do for them, understand, making them aware of the process. You know, it's actually frightening to know that a lot of clients don't understand the mortgage process, what the interest rates mean, what the costs mean, what the process looks like. And it's not their fault. Don't get me wrong. It's not the borrower's fault. It's actually our education process. It's our schooling system. And, you know, I've got young kids. I've got a 12 and a 9-year-old. I've got two boys. You know, they don't talk about tax and VAT as much in school as I'd like them to. Mm. I tell them at home. You know, when we go to restaurants, I make them double check the bill before we pay it. You know, Did you have two chicken satays? You know, did you have one? Did your father have two bottles of wine today or one bottle of wine? You know, that sort of thing. So, yeah, it depends. You know, the interest rates keep going. It might be on three, actually. But you know, these things, I encourage it. And again, you know, this is what I encourage as a business owner, is my team to do. You know, first of all, don't worry about, you know, do worry about your income. Mm-hmm. Listen, we're human. We've all got bills to pay. But the key here is, it's that relationship. You know, work with the borrower, work with the client, work with your potential prospects. Talk about, you know, where they're lacking in advice, what they want from us, where they want to be, and then how we can help them along the journey. And the beauty
even with experienced property developers and you buy to let lands and stuff, do you think there's still a level of education that needs to happen at the moment, as in it's not bouncing back straight away? You're not, I know it's more expensive. It's not, do you think you still kind of, and that sound, I don't mean to sound petulant with them, but you know, you probably softly educate in regards to, because it will sound more expensive, because it is more expensive, but
it is. And the problem is, a lot of people take advice from their mate, Jack, John, Peter. Yeah,
down the pub.
Down the pub, and they get this advice that it's a temporary blip, you know, by the time September, the kids go back to school, interest rates will be back at one, you know. No offense. You know, you're chuckling. I'm going to chuckle now as well. You know, that is phenomenally, it's crazy.
Yeah.
They're not close to the markets. They're not understanding the effects that's happening in America, Russia, Ukraine, energy price in the UK, and many other things that we can talk about forever.
Yeah.
This is not a short-term blip. You know, interest rates are not coming down to where they were.
This is the new normal, isn't it? This is the you know, I mean, it's going to be slightly higher, slightly lower, wherever we are, but this is the new normal. We're not, people have to understand that if they wait, waiting forever, you know.
My view is we're just getting back to reality where we were, where England has always been, you know, 4-5% base rate is where we've always been. I bought my first property.
It's been the average, isn't it, over the last like 25, 30 years or something. It's along 6% was about right. And then
I agree.
And we've been living in that wonderful 0.5% era that, you know, people seem to forget. They just, that's what the price of money was. So,
I agree. And I think everyone gets used to low interest rates, surplus income, you know, and they're going on jollies and all that sort of stuff. But well done. But as business owners, you've got to remain, on the fence and on the edge, and, you know, have a bit of reserve money, because things like this can happen.
Yeah.
And the conversations we're having with our buy-to-let landlords is, you might need to sell a couple of your properties to reduce your loan to value across your portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
Or even you might want to sell a few of the properties that are not passive anymore than they were the last 10 years. And that's part of the journey as business owners, landlords, that you have to go through, because not every property is going to be profitable for the next 20, 30, 40 years.
But that's important to use a broker, right? Because you're not just giving information on the loan to value of a house. You're actually giving information on a portfolio that they're using as a salary. So it's really relevant, like more relevant now than ever, to make sure you're with someone who knows what they're talking about, as opposed to when money was cheap, you could go to your bank. You know, it's not...
Yeah.
In the world, because money's cheap actually at the moment. I think the importance of brokers
and the complexities as well in the market, you know, the complexities, people have got various income streams, various portfolio sizes. It's not just the high street banks that lend, you know, a lot of the lenders in the high street don't lend to limited company corporation. So that's another problem. So, you know, what's the saying, you know, the broker is the gold, you know, the worth in weight or gold.
Yeah, worth in weight, gold, absolutely.
That's the one, buddy. So too early. So, you know, that sort of stuff. And it's pivotal. We know we save the client's time. You know, we save them energy. You know, we're experienced. We know what the lender wants. We don't oversupply them with documents, you know. Mm-hmm. They unravel the whole new kettle of, can of worms and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, it's interesting. I wouldn't change it for the world. You know, I'm still optimistic about the real estate investment business in the UK. Yeah. We're not going through a blip. We're going through a transition. You know, it's a massive transition. But that's part of the journey as a property investor. We saw it in the 80s. You know, I was born in the 80s, but I'm not. I wasn't paying for
it in the 80s. You were watching Thundercats in the 80s. You were not.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Well, listen, I'm an 83 baby, right? So I'm 39. I feel 79, to be honest with you.
The last 3 months, that is, yeah.
yeah. So listen, it's interesting times, but listen, as you know, as business owners, if we're not motivated, how can we motivate the business, the team, our clients, and so on and so on? But
just on that, Akhil, about motivating the team and staying positive, I think it's really important that some business leaders need to listen to that, because there is very much this pity party that cuts through the vein of mortgage brokers where, oh, he's got the hump, so I'll have the hump, and then we'll all talk about it. And then actually, it's really demotivating for people that aren't business owners and aren't maybe early in their journey and that kind of thing. And I don't think people appreciate, I wrote about it this morning because I think it's so poignant, that I don't think people appreciate how much your opinion is echoed amongst your peers and your colleagues and your team, because people seem to think, oh, I'll get this off my chest and that feels good, which is, you know, I think you do need that in certain aspects, but, you know, speak to a therapist, mm-hmm. don't speak to your team. I don't think that all the stress needs to be put on everyone. I think there's a certain amount we should shoulder as business owners. I don't know where you sit with that, that kind of concept.
I think motivating the team is very, very difficult. Don't get me wrong. It's not easy, especially in the current climate. Motivating is not easy. It's keeping them engaged and then leading them along the journey. You know, as a leader, I want to be able to open doors for them, give them other opportunities and think, you know, can we do this? Can we develop on our relationships here? Can we be in this space? And that's one of the reasons why we've now moved into Mayfair London, because we want to be coming a bit more closer to the hedge funds, the IFAs, the larger networks
the money is.
That we want to go to, just simply because that's where our business is going. That's where we want to get involved in. And it's the same amount of paperwork that goes involved in a 50,000 mortgage and a £3 million mortgage. Yeah. Now, don't get me wrong. We do 50,000 mortgages, but we also do £3 million plus mortgages as well. So, you know, we don't turn our nose up at anything, and nor does the team. The team just want to do the right thing by, you know, being compliant first and foremost, and also taking that client through a journey that they enjoy and want to do business again and again with us. And then they recommend us.
That is the answer to the profit side of things. Is that actually, I know you mentioned it earlier on, that you can't concentrate on that at the moment. You can't concentrate on profit. You have to concentrate on your people. You have to concentrate on your customers, making sure they're comfortable, the relationship building. I know at some point we have to look at profit. We can't all work for free, but
I agree.
It is a byproduct, isn't it, of actually doing a good job and doing a service. I think you try to install that in your. I mean, I don't know how hard it's for you with your team trying to install that in them when they're probably earning a little bit less than they were. How do you do that? How do you kind of? Because it's just.
I think
it's a tricky one.
I think the beauty about our business is it's not just one income stream that we can earn income from. So yes, mortgage procuration fees is where, you know, we earn our meat, if you like. Mm-hmm. But there are other various income streams we've got. So we can provide life cover, critical illness, which pays us a nice healthy commission as well. Arranging buildings and contents, other professional referrals, so wills and trust, other IFAs, accountants, tax advisors. So there's always an add-on or commissions and referral checks that we can earn as business owners, but it's actually doing the right. It's not about the commissions on the return. It's actually more importantly is connecting
making
our
sure
clients.
They're covered and making sure they got,
And you know, and that's, and the byproduct of that is getting a check in return for it. But first, the more importantly is actually the client getting the right advice and getting the right knowledge along their journey, because the debt doesn't end on your death. You know, somebody's got to pay CGT, someone's got to pay the IHT bill. Somebody's got to, you know, put food on the plate for the family, the loved ones that are left behind. So, you know, it's not just the mortgage, even though as entrepreneurs and landlords, everyone's after the mortgage and that's it and the next property, but it's actually then recommending them and referring them to our power team. And we have power team around us. You know, I'm a big believer of having a good power team. So we recommend our clients to a couple of IFAs, a couple of tax advisors, a couple of will and trust guys, just simply because the client can compare apples and apples from that perspective.
How did you pick your power team? How did that come over? Is that organic as well, or has that been strategic?
That's more strategic, to be honest with you, because, you know, if we're putting our clients in touch with another business, there's only so much control we've got on that. And for us, it's got to be the reputable firms, people that we like, know and trust, people that we get on with, we eat and drink with them, play golf with them or whatever. But most importantly, that business that we're referring to has got to be of the same, the eliteness of us as individuals. And it's got to have the same goals and visions that we have for our clients. You know, if we pass our client to a recommended business and they fall foul and they give them bad advice, you know,
you wouldn't recommend a mate to something. It's the same thing, isn't it? It's the same. Same business. Yeah. So funnily enough, we had a conveyancing firm approach us the other day about a similar thing. And you're trying not to offend people, but at the same time, they're relatively new. They understand that we know lots of brokers and that kind of thing. But I don't know their standards, and I know our standards. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to explain that to someone that we don't know. But I suppose that's where your networking thing comes in, you know, you've shaken hands with these people, you understand their values, you understand where they come from. It can't just be who pays you the most. It has to be someone who has exactly the same company ethos as you do. Because it's an extension of you, isn't it? If you offer a referral, it's an extension of your business.
You hit the nail on the head there, Marcus. I 100% agree with you, mate.
Yeah, good. So, in regard, I've taken up loads of your time. It's gone really quickly, actually.
No,
really
my pleasure.
Your time. In regards to this kind of people starting out, so take you back to you back to 2018. What do these brokers need? Kind of not competency wise or behaviour wise, but and not financial, because we all know you need slightly deeper pockets than if you were employed initially. But what kind of advice would you give to someone who's setting out on that journey, maybe one man banding initially, or maybe looking to grow from a one man band? What kind of advice can you offer?
Okay, so if somebody's going from the employed to the self-employed route and they want to create a business for their own, you know, I'd welcome that and I'd say I wish you all the best. And if anybody wants any advice, pick up the phone to me. I'll happily, you know, give them my information and guidance. But I think the core fundamentals here is where you are in your personal journey. Running a business is, you know, it's a full-time job. You know, it's not 9 to 5 Monday to Friday and you've got the weekends off. I genuinely work probably 18 hours per day, 7 days a week. And that's because it's not because of the pressures of the job or I'm under duress. I genuinely love it. And, you know, I've got a vision. I've got, you know, as I said earlier, I'm 39 years old. I want to accomplish certain things by the time I'm 50 and then beyond. So I've got a vision. Everyone should have a vision. But more importantly is, do you enjoy this business first and foremost? Are you willing to put in the hours? Because, you know, going from an employed to self-employed, meaning you might not get paid on the first of each month. You might get paid every 3 months, for example. You know, can you take that on board? Have you got enough cash reserves in the bank to tie you over, depending on your outgoings? And I always say is whatever your outgoings is on a monthly basis, times that by 6 months. That's roughly what you need to have in the reserve just to keep it afloat. And it might be 9 months now because of the climate we're in now. So I always over-egg it. Because if you don't over-egg it, you know, you'll face complications later down the line and 9 months will flow very, very quickly. So first and foremost, are you willing to put in the hours? Have you got enough cash reserves? And then actually looking at, you know, your debt, your dynamic, your business dynamics, you know, where are your focuses lying initially? Are you going to go after buy-to-let? It's probably not the right business to go into right now. If you're going to concentrate on that business, it's probably going to be owner-occupied residential mortgages that are coming up. I think there's about 1 million+ mortgages coming up in the next 6 months.
Yeah.
How are you going to target those? Yeah. How are we going to target those clients and get that remortgage business in? You know, how much time are you going to spend on networking? How much time are you going to spend on social media? How are you going to build an audience? And how, more importantly, how are you going to build a brand? Because, you know, our mortgage broker are, you know, we are where we are in the business. I think we're quite decent, we're quite known in the industry at our level. But how do we take it up the next level? You know, I'm fortunate that we've got a team of 9 people in the business. I can concentrate on building the brand and the awareness because I've got a good foundation behind me now. Now it's my responsibility to keep up in the ante. So
you still, I think they're fundamental as well, don't you? I think some people, I mean, we obviously speak to a lot of people who are looking to scale. And one of the first things we say, if you're looking to relieve the pressure, don't bother. Because it's a different kettle of fish, isn't it, when it comes to the actual the pressure that you receive at the top end. And also, like you just said then, having to build brands and stuff, you don't always get to be a mortgage broker. So there's something you might be fantastic at. Once you're a business owner, there's a very big chunk of your day that isn't that.
Yeah, and from time to time, I do get people contact me to say, listen, how do you, you know, Akio, I've seen you from humble beginnings as a one-man band. You look like you're doing amazing things. You're growing. And I said, you know, we're fortunate we're doing what we're doing. But it's been a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. And listen, we're only 5 years into our journey. But then the other thing I do request people to do is, rather than setting up your own business initially, perhaps go from an employed to a self-employed role within and somebody else's brokerage.
Yeah.
You know, of a plug here, we're currently recruiting for mortgage advisors on a self-employed basis to join our business. And that could be a process where somebody joins us for a year or two, understands the processes, and then goes out there on their own journey. And we welcome that. You know, I'm not opposed.
It's interesting actually how many people want to jump and be a business owner for the sake of being a business owner. There's nothing wrong with earning your stripes. There's nothing wrong with going to work for someone for a bit, learning. You know, we're in it a long time, aren't we? You know, we're in the business. Once we've got the business, we're in it for a long time. There's nothing wrong with earning your stripes, actually going through that process of working for someone, understanding, go and work for a really good business. That's how you get good at business, isn't it? It's hard to scratch with no knowledge.
Yes, I agree. And, you know, there's always good and bad in business as well. You know, cherry pick the right firm that you want to work with or work for. because ultimately, you know, we're in the financial regulation business. You know, if you get, you know, you get one bad stripe, that could tarnish your career for life, and then future credit opportunities for yourself personally as well. So
I think there's a lot of people don't know what they don't know as well with the, when it comes to, there are some really big names out there that you've not, if you're not in our shoes, then it looks to be something incredible, when in fact that people really do need to do the due diligence on where you should be going, because there's, you know, there's also some shocking outfits out there that, that look okay on the outside.
Yeah. No names mentioned. But listen, I wish everyone all the best. You know, all I say is, you know, I meet loads of mortgage brokers at industry events and dinner events and that sort of stuff. You know, we all hug each other, give each other a kiss or whatever it is. But we, you know, I always say, you know, learn from each other, you know, best habits, best ways of working. You know, there's lots of business out there, so I'm not frightened to, you know, keep all my cards.
You know,
to my chest.
I don't know any other industry, so I can only speak on experience, but I love financial services in that sense that it is relatively collaborative. There's not that many dickheads left. I just think everyone wants to kind of, you know what I mean? I just think everyone wants to help everyone that open. It might be, I also believe in the law of attraction, and I believe we try and help lots of people. So that's probably the people I'm attracting. But at the same time, I just don't see it as much. I just don't see the people that like are very insular and want to keep everything to themselves and worry about business. Like it's a good, it's a good atmosphere of collaboration, I think. But it always can be better, but.
No, I agree. And the estate agency world, you know, I always compare ourselves to the estate agency world, and that is carnage.
Yeah.
The estate agency pulling down boards and, you know, slacking them off online. I'm like, really?
Yeah. You know, it's the, I can't think of the word now, when there's an abundance mindset.
You know
there's an abundance of work, but if you suddenly get that consciousness of, oh, there's not an abundance of work, so maybe you'd be surprised how quickly that work dries up.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I said the same thing to my boys as well. You know, if you've got nothing good to say, don't say it. You know, if somebody's being silly out there in your school playground or whatever, turn around, move away. You know, just think like an adult, think mature. You know, we're all, I know we can say things out of turn because of the heat of the moment, all that sort of stuff, but that's how you, it takes time, it takes experience to be of that level. And you've just got to be smart.
That makes sense. Good. That is a great way to end it. So, Akhil, if people want to get in touch with you, especially about that self-employed side of things, if they're interested, if they want to speak to you, how would they get involved? All your socials and everything will be on this, but just from you, what's the best way to contact you?
No, I appreciate it. Well, first of all, I want to say, Marcus, thank you so much for putting on this video. You do a great, you know, video content out there for us as in the financial institution. So well done to you. And, you know, hopefully we can do more together and yourselves with other brokerages as well. So I'd welcome more of those.
Thank you.
You know, we're all over social media. So at Our Mortgage Broker, all over social media, ourmortgagebroker.co.uk is the website. And then, I'm sure Marcus will leave the content below.
All the content will be on every post, so you can get in contact with Akhil. That's really useful. So thank you. Again, Akhil, I really do appreciate your time. And thanks for everyone listening on Spotify, watching on YouTube. I will see you all soon.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.